This was the one that was in the hotel. The Chinese were Cy Vance's guest, as I recall,
right,
in this new hotel.
The UN Plaza.
Which is just a horrible, remember the ceilings
were right.
Very low, rather claustrophobic setting.
It was a late night dinner at 8:30, and it was very pleasant. The issue, of course, being what Deng Xiaoping had done with the AP board, going public with diplomatic exchanges. And in effect saying, well, let bygones be bygones, and we now understand each other. That was when the secretary, as you remember, said we listened carefully to what the vice premier told us in Peking. We are still studying it. We do not have our answer. And Ambassador Woodcock will convey our answer at a later time, and we will have our communications through him in Peking. And so it was a relatively pleasant occasion. Then after the dinner was over, we had a caucus in the we were then supposed to have the instructions prepared for me to give this answer and convey our the U.S. position. So following that, I then went to Washington, stayed several days, but went back to New York for a meeting with the secretary, Phil Habib and Dick Holbrooke, which was held on the Saturday morning, October 1st, in which we agreed we'd push forward to try to move the normalization talks along, and that the necessary papers would be prepared to that effect. So I left New York then to go to Detroit, awaiting a call to Washington to be acquainted with the papers that were being prepared. That was the 1st of October. My diary shows that...
You waited a very long time, as I recall.
I returned to Washington on the 12th. Went to the State Department 12th of October in the afternoon, and we had meetings relative to the papers, which were inconclusive. Well, no, they weren't inconclusive. Again, as I remember it, the decision was made to make them affirmative. I see my note here for October 14, 3:30. Meeting with Secretary Vance, read paper, agreed again in principle. Because apparently when the words got on paper, what I at least thought we were agreeing to was flying out the window. So that I again went back to Detroit, got to see a Michigan-Wisconsin football game, and stayed in Detroit, awaiting the call. Went back on the 21st. I had a very brief meeting in the State Department. The paper is still not ready. Went back to Rochester, actually. And then on the 25th, it shows lunch in the White House, Hamilton Jordan, Mike Oxenberg, and Landon Butler, Steve Schlossberg, who was with me, and one woman, I forget, she was.
Rainwater.
I Right.
On Hamilton's staff, whom he was charging to think about China issues.
Oh, I see. And that was more, as I remember it, sort of an educational session for Hamilton.
That's right. Right.
I think a useful one at that point. Then I left there to see Phil Habib. And Phil told me there would be no instructions, that I was to return to China and with no instructions and to just wait in Peking. I said that I wouldn't do that without seeing the president. Bill got pretty agitated about that, and I just said that if I'm to go back without instructions, I'm going to insist that I ask to see the president. And I was then going up to Boston to see my daughter. I remember Bill said, well, of course you'll see the secretary before you see the president. And I said, of course. I said, I've had several meetings with the secretary, and we always agree. But then something happens. So I went to Boston and came back and saw Secretary Vance on the morning of October the 28th. I met with him alone, and again we agreed on the instructions. And I went back to Detroit. And finally left to go back to China on the 2nd of November. With in the meantime the papers having been prepared, they were innocuous, but at least they were not on the negative side, and certainly much better than going back with absolutely nothing. You probably know more about what was going on than I do.
No, at that point, not. I have to think in my own mind. I was not centrally involved at that point in China policy.
It was entirely a State Department thing.
Entirely, and I believe that it was basically kept from me. Your recounting of events, I had forgot. I knew that you had been kept here. I did not recall for how long. It was, let me just clarify in my own mind, I know that you didn't see the president. It was my recollection that for the bulk of that time you did not want to see the president. You said there was no need to bother him. And for the most part, I think I was unaware of the struggle within the State Department, but I knew, what you have just told me jars my mind as to why Brzezinski, with my encouragement, decided to try and take the China issue away from the State Department, about it.
See, what was happening during these extended periods that I was back in Rochester? I'd call every couple of days, and I'd talk either to Weistein or to Thayer. And one or the other would say, well, we'll have it in 3 days. And then I'd call and say, in fact, they'd say, we'll have it in 3 days at 2 o'clock. And they got a little shamefaced. And when I'd say, what's the trouble? Well, we're having trouble getting the words together. So I don't
massaging
know.
Massaging it.
I don't know whether it was in the policy committee or what the problem was.
Well, the issue was, as I recall, precisely what you would say concerning our post-normalization representation on Taiwan. Wasn't that the wording, that you had to go beyond what Vance had said in New York?
Yes.
And in order to remove the misunderstanding, we wanted to make sure that Deng did not continue to say what we were proposing is nothing but a liaison office.
And a step backward.
And a step backward. And we wanted to take into account that Ford had already, in 1975, accepted the Japanese formula. I was not aware of the struggle or what was going on. All I knew is that nothing was happening. And what I was telling Zbig at the time is that the Chinese are beginning to signal to us that the Vance mission, they consider a failure, but they want to move forward in the relationship. And they began to signal in a number of ways their interest, planning for the Jackson trip, the Kennedy trip, was already beginning to go forward, Committee for the Present Danger, Alan Cranston was getting ready to go to China, as I recall, the Chinese resumed purchase of grain, that we began to get a whiff of. And we couldn't get anything out of state. So I believe it was after you returned that we began to try and take, to be blunt about it, to take the play a little bit away from state. But it was this over what was small stuff. They couldn't put their act together and get you over there with a clear statement to Deng that he's misunderstand the president. He misunderstood the presentation of Vance, I think that was the effect of it, and that this would, I believe your ultimate instructions were acceptable, namely that this would not become an obstacle to normalization. Wasn't that the
exactly
the wording that you had? Was that this would not, the question of
they withdrew the negative but did not accentuate the positive.
That's right.
But they sort of put it back into a place where it could.
It was a back burner issue, and
right.
At the time of normalization, this will not be an issue.
Exactly. But on the, you referred to the Senator Jackson's visit, and Senator Kennedy and I threw in the Committee for the Present Danger.
Nitzy went on that.
Yes. We'll come to that in our next session, but. In 1977, before I went to China, Northeastern University in Boston gave me an honorary degree, and Ted Kennedy was the commencement speaker. And on the platform, he said to me, "You know, I've been trying to go to China since for many years." And he said, "With my position, I don't understand." Well, I may have said that you're too soft on the Soviet Union or something like that, semi-facetiously. But he said, "I do want to come." And then they did extend him an invitation. Wasn't it in August of
77
he made that very positive speech? But then immediately they had invited him. They invite Jackson ahead of him, and they invite the Committee for the Present Danger ahead of him, which I think was done deliberately, too, because he.
I think the timing of Jackson's trip was not due to the Chinese. The timing of Jackson's trip was Jackson's choosing.
Well, he was delayed.
That's right.
But they had invited him at a time which would have put him in before Kennedy. But then he couldn't come, as I remember it.
But it was going to be his second trip. And I think he set the timing for that.
I see. But I think Committee for the Present Danger was
that may have
was deliberate.
Well, you went back then in mid-October, or was it already November when you went back?
No, I didn't go. I didn't arrive back in Peking until the 4th of November.
Is that right? Huh. Well, you know, that's
so
fascinating.
I was gone 6 weeks.
very long.
A long time.
Well, I have talked to the Chinese about this period. They knew we were having our trouble. Ji Chaozhu told Zbig and me this, because we asked them about how they saw the situation in the U.S. They had decided that the State Department was going to be not the agency through which to work, and they wanted to get Brzezinski to come to China. They figured they could do the same thing that they had done in the previous administration.
Right.
And we had begun, obviously, to think along similar lines.
I think my extended stay was about 6 weeks. The Chinese mind was also related to what I did in February of 78, when I made my statements, which got so much publicity, which they read as my doing it deliberately, because I had given up hope that anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think they put all of that together in their minds. Well.
So you did have a meeting, though, with Huang Hua in November, soon after your return, as I recall, didn't you?
Yes.
On November 14th, meeting with Huang Hua. And that's when you gave the message. But it was essentially a message that left the normalization issue on the back burner.
His reaction was, very much new here. And when are you really going to give the answer was really what he was saying. But it was certainly better than nothing. It got off the official presence bit.
Well, let's break here and resume the thread on that winter with all the visitors that came in November, December,
right.
January, and then the scheduling of the Brzezinski visit. I'll say one thing about the Brzezinski visit. We had gotten I remember Lee Kuan Yew visited Washington. And Zbig had lunch with him, and I went, Mike Armacost went with him. On the way back, he said, you know, I'd like to go to China. And I said, are you being serious about that? And he said, yes. I said, well, I assume you have gotten appropriate clearances, that's a major statement. And he said, yes, and I'd like you to help me get the invitation. So I went out. I had a goodbye lunch that I gave to Chen Dai-Jung. Do you remember Chen Dai-Jung? He was the head of the political office in the liaison office. He then went back to China. He apparently got in political
yes.
trouble, but he was known to many Americans for his time in the U.S. So we talked about a number of things, about normalization. Normalization came up, and he looked. He said, I do not think normalization will occur in this administration. And I said, I think you're wrong. And he said, maybe a second term, but not a first. Then later I said, you know, I think that you should invite Dr. Brzezinski to visit China. And so he said, are you speaking on your own? And so I said, I remember my word choice, I am not a frivolous man.
That's a good Chinese answer.
I said, but I think that my sentiment should be conveyed. So he said, I will convey them. About a few days later, a few days later, Huang Jun had his goodbye lunch for Mondale. Mondale gave his goodbye lunch. Jimmy Carter dropped by for Huang Jun. I don't. Do you have the date on that? You were not there. You had already left.
I wasn't there, but I went to the airport to receive him when he came back to China.
So it was in late November or early December. He walks in, and with the press there.
Came back to China the 22nd.
So this was November. Then this explains why the timing with your long delay in the U.S. was intimately related. So he came in, and with the press all there, standing around, he said that we're delighted to know that Dr. Brzezinski would like to visit China.
That really fluttered the dove coats.
And we look forward to his visit. And, of course, it was Mondale's lunch, but he looks at Brzezinski. And Brzezinski and I look like this. You know, I thought, looking at the ceiling and all. And so then, as he leaves, I quickly said, how are we going to handle this? And Zbig said, well, what we will do is to say he must have been speaking in jest as a friendly gesture. But, of course, if they're... invitation was extended. Brzezinski looks forward to visiting China one day. I get back to my office. No sooner did I walk in the office than the phone rings. Phil Habib from the car saying, what the hell have you been doing? And Dick Holbrooke then
was in the
same car. And then 2 minutes later, Holbrooke calls me from his home, absolutely livid, saying he'd been playing games. I've been playing games, but they were just absolutely furious. And I said, well, I have done nothing. I think it was just a jest, and it was just a statement made, and, you know, we'll treat it as such. And then a few days later, a similar statement was made in Peking by some official about how they would like to have Dr. Brzezinski visit. So I asked Ji Chao-ju whether the statement that I had, the summer I'd asked him whether my approach to Chen Dayun had stimulated it, and they said we were thinking on exactly the same lines, that both people had figured that it was going to take working through the White House to move the thing forward, but that's what began the struggle for... really, that went on for 3 months.
Well, on this business of men calling from the car, you and I talked about that at some point, didn't we?
I think I've told you that story
before. Because they were almost, my memory of the conversation is that they were almost semi-hysterical.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And on the...
Absolutely.
On a totally unsecured...
That's right. That's right.
Communication line. They were extremely upset, no question about it. That, of course, was connected to what I was asked to convey to the president in February of 78.
That's right. Yeah. Well, one wonders what then went on over in the State Department during that October 77 period and why it was so hard to get the instructions out for you. An interesting question. I don't know why
they weren't late. It was not a major matter that was to be determined.
Yeah.
It was really just pulling back from the need for that we can't do it without an official presence of some kind. That's all it involved.
What is your guess as to where the fly was?
Every conversation I had with Cy Vance, they were brief, and there was no problem at all with getting him to agree with what I was saying. And then he would turn to someone and say, put down in paper what Leonard and I have agreed. And that's when the delays and delays and delays would come. I don't know. First occasion, as I remember, it was Bill Gleistein was given that charge. And then time when I would call Bill, should I come into Washington? We're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. But then it shifted. It shifted from him. I think there were three sessions with the secretary. And in the second one, he gave the charge to someone else than Bill. It was not fair.
Roy or Romberg?
Wasn't Roy. It could have been Romberg.
Romberg was one of the people sitting on it, actually. Or could have been, with his boss, Tony Lake.
Tony Lake, yes. That's what I suspect. I think it was in this period, I think. I was invited to a session with Tony Lake. It may have been later. Tony Lake, Harry Thayer, and there's a third person.
Then it would have been Romberg.
No, it wasn't Al. But they're going through the Socratic business. And I kept participating for it must have been at least 20, 25 minutes, and finally I said, what's this all about? You're trying to change my mind? Oh, no. We're just examining, we're being devil's advocates, you know, that sort of business. But, I could have been in the February interlude. I'll have to check.
All right. Sounds strange. That's one worth pursuing.